Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Travel on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Ryanair. Nothing quite says I love you like a Ryanair gift card. The perfect gift for couples.
Now, the wastes of Newfoundland may feel far away, but you'd be surprised to find out that the Newfoundland is as close, really, as the Canary Islands. Same sort of flight time. And it's home to some of the most Irish communities outside of Ireland itself. Paul O'Connell, Irish Independent Travel Editor, has been there. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You took yourself to Newfoundland.
I did. And like, I think lots of people I've spoken to about this place, it feels and sounds far away. You call it to mind and you picture whales and you picture icebergs and you picture vast plains and all of that. I got on the plane and about 4.5 hours later, I was in St. John's.
Who flies there?
So WestJet, which is a Canadian airline, has direct seasonal flights from Dublin Airport. They'll run from April to October. So I caught the tail end of it. It's a short flight time, like same as you roughly getting to Turkey or getting to the Canary Islands. It's this vast landscape with a sort of west of Ireland style coastline. Like I say, icebergs drift by in May and June. Famously, there's a place there called Iceberg Alley where you can literally sit on the shore with a hot mug of coffee and watch the icebergs float by. Whales, puffins, and larger than Ireland, but only 500,000 people live there. So it's a gentle kind of Canadian experience. It's not Toronto. It's not the skiing or the outdoor madness of British Columbia, but it's a gentle charm that really crept up on me over a week.
Tell me about the Irish of Newfoundland.
So Newfoundland's history, it was a British colony. In fact, it only joined Canada as a province in 1949. So it's quite recent. And many people I met would identify first as Newfoundlanders, as they say it. It's pronounced like Newfoundland almost. In the 1700s and 1800s, lots of Irish seasonal workers, they might have been sort of the J1 equivalents of their day, hopped on board ships that were coming from England via places like Passage East, took a journey of several weeks across the ocean and worked in the cod fisheries.
Okay.
And then would have come home months later. But some of them stayed. Others like shipwrights, grocers, artisans, publicans, people like that went over as supporting industries. They started to do a little bit of farming and they started to put down roots. And the communities were so isolated, so northeasterly, the winters were so harsh that there weren't really other waves of migration to match with them. And the communities kept very, almost like bubbles intact. Yeah. So they didn't mix or spread a lot.
And they have music that's our music?
Yeah.
They sound like us?
Really similar. Yeah, we have a couple of examples like that coming up for you. Will I introduce one
please.
Fellow? So the first Irishman I met on the first, sorry me saying Irishman, that's the confusion I have. The first Newfoundlander I met coming off the plane, I drove south from St. John's along the East Coast, along a loop called the Irish Loop to the Southern Shore, and I met Sean Sullivan.
We're in Calvert on the Southern Shore. This area is also called the Irish Loop. My particular ancestors came from New Ross, County Wexford in 1827. And people tell us we have accents. We don't think we have accents ourselves until other people tell us. Then we went to Ireland a few times now. I'm ever in Ireland a bunch of times and they really think we're from out the road somewhere. They say, geez, you can't be from Canada. We're from Canada. But yeah, so I guess the accents stay because when people came into a small community, they never went to the city until maybe the 1960s or so, right? So whatever language they had when they left Ireland, it stayed with them.
You were born here, but what about your parents?
How long? Six generations since our ancestors came. 1827. Honest to God.
That's extraordinary.
Isn't it?
Six generations and the Wexford accent is still there.
Can't you hear it? It's like in the inflection, it's in the way he moved, it's in the expressions like a bunch of times, or they might say something like, it's some hot or it's some cold, you know, it is absolutely extraordinary. And he was the first man I met coming off the flight, so I was almost feeling a bit disoriented speaking to him. But I travelled from there north to a place called Fogo Island, which is a 5-hour drive north and very remote, involved taking a ferry from a port called Farewell to a port called Seldom Come By, the actual place names. Drove along to the end of that island to a place called Tilting, where I met a woman called Maureen Foley. And picture Maureen sitting in a large shed with a stove and the walls crammed with GAA jerseys, Hurleys, maps of Ireland, postcards from home. And this is Maureen introducing herself.
I'm Maureen Foley from Tilting, Fogo Island, which is an island off the extreme northeast coast of Newfoundland. It's 20 miles long by 9 miles wide. And we're only a tiny fishing community of 125, 130 people, you know. But it is a little piece of Ireland tucked away in the North Atlantic. And we're very proud of it.
Very proud of it.
Very proud of it.
And Tilting, they have a faila there.
They have a faila. And I went to the faila. I've timed my visit to get to it. This is a village where maybe 120, 130 people live. So it's really tiny. And it's built around a horseshoe-shaped harbour with brightly coloured fishing stages and wooden houses, almost like you might think of if you picture Greenland or if you picture some parts of Scandinavia. In September, a chilly north wind starting to come at me. And in they don't have a pub, which is probably the one strike against their Irish credentials. But they have this thing called Faila Tilting. Driving into the town, there's a sign, Fáilteagóid Tilting, welcome to the place. And it includes a shed crawl, where you go from shed to shed in the evenings, and the Newfoundlanders play music and people dance. And it, like you say, very like Irish folk or being at a bit of a sessioon, you know, and then you go on to the next shed. And the next lady I spoke to briefly, Rosemary Burke, I met her outside St. Patrick's Parish Hall in the middle of the visit, where everybody was having bowls of moose stew instead of lamb stew.
Okay. And this is Rosemary Burke.
Why is there an Irish festival in Tilting?
Well, because everybody here is Irish. The Irish came over here in the 1700s and 1800s. We didn't lose our accent because we haven't left here long enough to lose it. Some people left and went away and had careers and lived away. But some other people, like myself, didn't leave for long.
So that's Rosemary Burke.
Do you know, a couple of people have said to me since I came back, you can hear just enough of a twinge of North American in there to make it almost extra credible or something. Yeah. You'd almost think I was bringing you tape from Waterford or Kilkenny otherwise, but that was Rosemary, yeah, in Fogo Island.
Now, the only thing I think of when I hear the name Newfoundland, I think of Gander Airport.
Because
it used to be the stop-off because the planes couldn't make it all the way to North America.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it was a halfway house in the kind of golden age of transatlantic travel, where you had like airlines like Pan Am or the early days of the Aer Lingus flights even would have stopped to refuel in Gander. Gander is basically a crossroads in the middle of Newfoundland, home to about 9,000 people. And being a sort of a travel and aviation nerd, I wanted to stop in and see the airport. And I did, and it's still active, and there's a few domestic flights and the Coast Guard run from it. And so picture like a Farm 4 sort of size, maybe somewhere between that and Shannon. But I met a woman there called Rhonda Lane, who's a tour guide, and she had been working in Gander on 9/11. And I don't know if you've heard this story, but it is one of the best stories I have heard in travel, that basically they were all sitting there on the morning when the planes crashed into the Twin Towers. And someone in the room said, if that's going to happen, there's going to be airspace closed. And if there's airspace closed, there's going to be diversions. And by lunchtime, they had 36 planes sitting on the tarmac outside, 747s, 757s, 767s. The population of the town had doubled. The bus drivers were on strike that day, but everybody rallied around. Rhonda says she wished she hadn't worn high heels that day. She had little memories like bringing bags of Nicorette to the passengers because some of them couldn't get off the planes for 24 hours.
Wow.
They all came, they stayed in, you know, bigger buildings, and people opened up their homes. Some of them stayed for weeks. And believe it or not, there is a musical about this that has been on Broadway called Come From Away. That's a Newfoundlander's expression for people like myself who visited from overseas.
Actually, we did talk about that musical on the programme some time back. Now, the places to go, I mean, St. John's, I've seen it featured recently in a TV drama, a series, because the landscape is so compelling. Yeah. It really is. It's been used for lots of TV series and movies. But what do you do? Tell us where you go.
So don't go to Newfoundland expecting big city atmosphere. You go for a gentler kind of a charm. So St. John's, think of, say, Galway. It's set on this really dramatic harbour they call the Narrows, with jelly bean houses, which are like the coloured houses I described to you earlier, but they're in terraces. So you might have purple, yeah, green, red, pink. Nice seafood restaurants. They're big on their cod. Cod tongues is a specialty locally that I hadn't tried before. You literally get a plate of deep fried cod tongues to eat. There's great music in the bars. There's a great museum and gallery called The Rooms, where I learned that there was an Irish name for Newfoundland, Tolavan Eishc, land of the fish. And from there, I used that then as a hub to kind of strike out. I went south along the Avalon Peninsula. I took a rib tour of the coastline, where you can see in season the whales and the puffins. May and June is the time to go if you want to see those icebergs, so that I would plan ahead for that. Newfoundland's summer is kind of gentle, a little bit buggy, maybe in the high 20s, but its winter comes in. It's coming in now, and it comes in November
cold.
And goes right through to April or May. So it's, but the people are a product of that kind of harsh climate, and there's this sense of real big-heartedness and generosity with endurance, with sort of a survivor mentality to them. So that's what I just found as the week went on. I kind of felt I was getting more and more intrigued by it.
Paul O'Connell, travel editor with the Irish Independent. Thank you very much.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.